The Kashipur region of the Indian state of Orissa contains one of the largest deposits of bauxite ores in the world. In 1994, a consortium of private companies, collectively known as UAIL, Utkal Alumina International Limited, was formed to create a bauxite mine and a refinery in order to extract these ores. It would produce alumina purely for export, as India is self-sufficient in aluminum. One of those companies is Montreal-based Alcan, one of the largest aluminum companies in the world. The company reported a net income of $118 million in the third quarter of 2003. Until recently, Alcan controlled 35% of the shares in the Kashipur project. The company then bought 10% more of the shares in this venture. Those shares had been abandoned by Norsk Hydro, a Norwegian company which pulled out of the project for ethical reasons. Norsk Hydro had cited the project's disregard for the rights of indigenous and low-caste people, who have been farming the land for centuries, and have a right to it under the Indian Constitution. According to NORAD, the Norwegian Agency for Development Cooperation, the proposed project could displace up to 60,000 people from their ancestral homes. Alcant is a Montreal activist group opposed to Alcan's latest investment and any unethical corporate activity. On Tuesday, December 16, 2003, Alcant organized a demonstration in front of the company's headquarters at 1188 Sherbrooke Street West. They chose December 16th as the day of protest to mark the third-year anniversary of the police killing of three villagers from Kashipur. The villagers had been protesting the development of the mine and refinery. Alcant performed street theater involving jugglers, a drummer, and activists dressed in decorations of aluminum cans, who sang political songs and handed out leaflets to passers-by. Along with the protests outside, people were asked to make phone calls to Alcan's headquarters to express their concern about the corporation's complicity in violent repression. That afternoon, Neil Gohill and Darren Shore spoke to some of the demonstrators, an Alcan shareholder, and Alcan's director of media relations. What's your name?
My name is Faiz Abouali.
Why are you here at the Alcan building today protesting?
Well, just to let people know that Alcan is not this great industry that advances, if you will, Quebec society or whatever not, and whatever image portrays, it's actually a company that's disregarding the indigenous rights of people in Orissa right now as we speak.
So you felt that what you learned in high school was a misrepresentation of the true nature of the Alcan company. What was it that they taught you in high school that you don't agree with?
We never actually talked about where the primary products come from. There was some illusion of bauxite mining in Jamaica, but we're never told that, you know, what they're doing there has impact on lives. For example, in Kashipur, the people there, their land is sacred, and the hills that will be mined, I think they're called Bipali hills, that's where they've gotten their livelihood for a very long time. And this Alcan project, this development project, is just a continuation of what happened in the colonial period, where indigenous people were moved from the coast to the interior for so-called development, or in that time it was called civilizational projects. And after independence, it was the Indian state which put forth industrial development and modernization, you know, on the basis of the Western developmental history, you know. And so on the basis of that definition of what development is, this mining project is being pushed strongly by the government and by Western governments too. I mean, this is, you know, one of the reasons why the state government gives a reason for this is to get foreign money, you know, like hard currency. This is part of a bigger problem.
Inside the Alcan building, a large plaque behind glass amidst aluminum side paneling states Alcan's policy on environment, health, and safety. It states, Alcan is committed to excellence in environment, health, and safety through continual improvement of our awareness, understanding, and performance. Our goal is to protect and promote the environment and the health and safety of all employees and communities where we operate. This will contribute to greater sustainability, thereby benefiting all employees, communities, customers, suppliers, and shareholders. Every Alcan employee is expected to actively support this policy and to implement the guiding principles.
Alcan has a 45% share in a mine that could displace up to 60,000 indigenous and low-caste people. It would destroy their livelihood, their means of living, their spiritual sites, their clean water, their clean food, their culture. Today, in Kashipur, in Orissa, there are massive demonstrations against this mine for the third year in a row. And today, right now, people from across North America are calling into Alcan to help them find their heart, help them develop a vision that's in accord with these indigenous people. We're building a solidarity movement in North America, in Montreal, in support of these people. Come join us.
What's your name, and where are you from, and why are you here?
My name is Daya Varma, and I am from Montreal. Actually, originally, I'm really from UP, which is close to Bihar, and quite familiar with that particular area, and especially the effect of these new developments, which are started by big industrialists, on the life of indigenous people, the poor people. I visited some earlier, and what they do is they give some compensation. These people are not good at managing money, and eventually a well-working and whole community life is disturbed, and they are just at this place. I went to Mirzapur, it is in the eastern district of UP, and all of a sudden suddenly find all the indigenous people, most of them just have become alcoholic, they have no place. All the labor is brought from outside.
Can you talk a little bit about how this project is similar to other ongoing multinational investments in India and how the effects are similar?
Most of these natural resources are in the area which is inhabited by the indigenous people. And so they locate these areas, they appropriate their land, because all these people, they live in their own style. They live on the land, they live in the forest, they depend on the forest and natural resources. So they just get displaced. And once they are displaced, their whole life pattern is disturbed. It's very similar to what has been done here, for example, that indigenous people. Once you uproot them, then there is no, I mean, they are not prepared to deal. They are not investors. They are not money managers. So you give them some money which they don't know. They spend in no time, and after that they have no livelihood and no home, and it's pathetic. Unlike here, because most of these places also cannot afford to employ them because they are not skilled workers. So all the workers are brought from outside. And unlike in Canada, where there is, you know, joy and happiness that some industry is being opened in this area and it will bring employment to the local population. In the case of India, the local population is entirely out of the workforce. The workforce, managerial force, all these are brought from outside. So it causes a lot of hardship.
And you're saying this is another project that is an example of the disregard for indigenous rights?
Yeah, it's probably the worst that has happened in India, because they raise the water and the people either drown or leave. There is no effort to rehabilitate them, but you cannot rehabilitate indigenous people all of a sudden in your own way. Because they have their own requirement, their own social life, their own skills. And so you want to put them to adopt to entirely new life.
And that's impossible.
Yeah, that's impossible.
What's your name and what are you here doing?
My name is Abhimanyu Sood.
Are you the organizer of this demonstration?
I am part of the organizing collective, yes.
What is it that you want out from Alcan?
Basically, we're working in solidarity with these indigenous people, so we're taking the demands from them. We're trying to bring their particular developmental vision to life, help them bring it to life, which is sort of against what Alcan's vision is. Alcan has a vision of basically going into the land, exploiting it, taking the bauxite for profit, displacing the people, doing whatever it needs to do in order to make its money. And that's basically getting in the way of the developmental vision of the indigenous people in Kashipur.
What is it specifically that you would like Alcan to do?
We would like Alcan to divest from the project.
Why would that be in Alcan's interest to divest from the project?
That'd be in Alcan's interest because, I mean, it's going to be a real disaster when people find out that 60,000 people were either killed or displaced for one bauxite mine. And at the same time, we're trying to develop a vision here, like an understanding where there's not such a division between what happens, you know, in North America, what happens in Canada, what happens in India. These people are not just unconnected to the people at Alcan. We're all really tightly connected. So you know, killing people there is not doing anything good for Alcan, no matter how much money they make. From a sort of intellectual point of view, it doesn't really make sense to pull out of the project. But from like a really expanded understanding vision, it really does make sense to not invest in this kind of project.
Isn't it any plan for compensation of those populations?
Very minor compensation. The plan as it stands right now would compensate about 175 families, whereas about 60,000 people will be severely affected by the project. People whose 75% of their land will be taken away will not be compensated at all, whatsoever, by the corporation or by the Indian government. 75% of their land lost, and even that, the 25% of it remaining, there'll be heavy industrial pollution in many forms, in the water, in the air, in the earth. So,
do you feel that the Canadian government is somehow complicit in what's been happening?
The Canadian government, yeah, I mean, I guess they're complicit, but much more explicitly is the Indian government. The Canadian government is much more complicit in sort of corporate exploitation of Indigenous people in this country, first of all.
What about in terms of a laissez-faire attitude or a complicity through negligence? Is the Canadian government somehow able to do anything about this, or is this really the Indian government's responsibility?
I mean, first and foremost, it's the Indian government's responsibility. The Canadian government is as complicit and as responsible in it as we all are, as people living in Canada, as people living in Montreal with a corporate neighbor like Alcan. You know, the government, sure, we can make use of them. They should participate in this, but it's just, this is the responsibility of all the people who are here.
A statement, or are you asking questions?
I mean, no.
Because you want to ask questions. I'm here to answer your questions. I'm available all day. I'll give you my card.
Okay, I mean, I'd love to hear a statement about what Alcan's involvement in this project is going to be. Doesn't keep pushing the issue away, because
no, issue,
it's a very
issue,
present
the
issue.
The issue
it's
is
December
this.
16th, which is the day that three people were killed. And, I mean, I'm sorry.
Which is
but
very
like,
unfortunate.
It's very unfortunate,
very unfortunate,
and you weren't aware of that. You weren't aware of the resonance of today.
I was not aware that today is the date
right,
of that
exactly
incident.
Exactly, 3 years ago. And today is the day that there are massive, massive demonstrations in India against the project. And still there's no statement from Alcan. You know, that's our concern. Like,
yeah.
There's been
the
so much response, but there hasn't been any, Alcan's not responding to it. You're just closing off.
The response is because it's one of many projects.
Okay.
No decision has been taken.
Right.
As I mentioned to you, and as I've been stating for the last few months, and even as recently as 3 weeks ago when I was interviewed by The Mirror, I believe, that no decision has been taken. We were still awaiting, over 3 years after the incidents, of the results of the judicial inquiry. We did not receive, and when I made that statement, we still did not receive any documentation from the Orissa government. We're still awaiting that documentation.
Okay.
Once we review that documentation, it'll be part of a decision-making process.
Right.
These decisions are not made in isolation.
I agree.
It's one of many projects.
Right.
There is one thing which I can state to you emphatically. We deplore these unfortunate circumstances and immediately requested from the Orissa state government a report.
Right. But do you realize that while you're waiting to make a decision, 60,000 people's lives are waiting in limbo? 60,000 people don't know, have no
idea.
We're not the sole. 45%
it's a partnership.
Is your responsibility.
That's right.
That's a huge, it's you and one other corporation,
mm-hmm.
Indo.
And you mm-hmm. raised
That's,
that.
Yeah, you raised, the, I mean, you raised, yeah, you raised your percent in the share.
Because
right?
we bought the
yeah, you brought,
from Norsk.
From Norsk Hydro,
that's
right.
Correct.
But while you're waiting to make these decisions, 60,000 people have no idea what's going to happen to them, whether they're going to be killed,
right.
whether they're going to be displaced,
right.
whether they're going to lose their culture,
right.
whether they're going to lose their spiritual sites,
right.
whether their
okay.
clean water is going to be
okay.
polluted, their foods are going to be polluted.
It's very important to realize that.
My name is Abhimanyu.
Abhimanyu, I can tell you that Alcan has a long history. We've been here in Quebec for 102 years.
Uh-huh.
We have a long history in sustainability of dealing with our communities and all our stakeholders.
You also have a long history of really terrible interactions with Indigenous people, such as the Tsleil-Waututh people in British Columbia.
Excuse me, we have signed 3 agreements this year alone with the Haisla. We returned a parcel of land. We took the electric towers which go to our aluminum smelter in Kitimat, and we actually moved them so it would go around Kitimat village.
Right, but how long did it take you to do that? And why were they there in the first place?
Why were they there in the first place?
Yeah, on Indigenous land. Where they have
because there were
the
there
land.
Were agreements. We have agreements
right,
of mutual understanding and respect with these peoples, as we do with the native peoples in Quebec.
Okay, but why?
And we've had many agreements.
So if you have that history, why isn't that being manifested with the Indigenous people in India? Why weren't they consulted first? Why weren't their titles to the land considered before you made the investment in the project? I see that you have a very clear vision as to how you want the project to develop, but why wasn't that there in the first place?
Why before you
invested in UAIL, didn't you consider the problems that would be caused for indigenous people? Why is that being considered after UAIL, the company, was started, after you invested, after three people were killed? Why didn't you have that foresight? If you've had this long history of good relations with indigenous people.
Look, Alcan is not going into the Arista state. We're not going there saying we will build this. We have a portfolio of projects around the world. Right now, there's one project in South Africa, and I've been getting calls every single day from South Africa. This is a very, very important project for South Africa. And they're wondering, what's going on with this project? We have many projects around the world.
Don't you feel like you're spreading yourself a little too thin?
Wait. Just a moment.
No, but there are all these people who are concerned.
You just asked me 50 questions. Are you going to give me a chance to respond? This is not an interrogation. If you want me to stand here on the sidewalk and have a discussion with you so that you might learn something and I might learn from you and you, then that's fine. I don't mind. Let me just explain. We have a portfolio of projects. Okay? In many of these projects, we're in partnership with other individuals. And we've made certain commitments that we would undertake certain engineering studies, and the other partners would investigate other things. But before Alcan embarks upon any project around the world, whether it's South Africa, Iceland, Norway, Mexico, wherever, we first have to look at, is this economically feasible? Does this make sense? Does it add value to Alcan as a corporation? And most importantly, as in the case of India, we look at the stakeholders, the people, the local communities. Okay? And we're at that state now. We're still awaiting to find out what happened, why those people were killed. We still don't know, officially. And we're waiting for official word. Now, you're telling me that report has been issued? Well, we're still waiting to see that report. Once that report has been read and digested, then that'll be part of a decision-making process. Of course, there are economic factors involved. There's the global economic situation. There's the situation if it's aluminum or bauxite. We have to look at what's going on in the world and weigh that project versus other projects. We're now looking at a project in Australia, and there's Aboriginal issues. There's land rights issues. We have a long history with the Aboriginal peoples in Gove, in Northern Australia, and we have a very good history because part of that project is to involve them and ensure, as we do in the Saguenay-Lac Saint Jean area or in Kitimat in British Columbia, to ensure that Indigenous peoples and First Nations in this country also have access not only to the job opportunities, but access to the development of the community, and have a say in how that project will be developed. So I'm going to stop. I'm going to go upstairs. My phone is ringing.
Can I ask one more question, please? Just respond to the question of if you have such a long history of good relations with Indigenous people.
Yes, we do.
Why was that not present in UA in Kashipur? Why did three people have to be killed before you considered
I'm not going to stand here on the sidewalk ignorant of the facts of the matter because we still haven't seen the facts. I know what happened. I know the consequences of that, and we as a corporation deplore that people lost their lives. We've been asking the Arista State government for 3 years now, as you say, it's the anniversary. For 3 years, we've been asking for some answers, and that's part of our responsibility. And we're doing that. I'm telling you, we're doing that. But it's part of a process, and we're not embarking upon any project. We're not building. We're not shoveling any earth before we have all the answers, and we have the answers to the other questions too.
Okay, so in the judicial report, actually at the end, which actually wasn't in the jurisdiction of the judge, he encouraged the Indian government and the corporations involved to go ahead with the project. At the end of the report,
well,
after saying that there was excessive police violence used, and that claiming that there won't be any sort of environmental damage from bauxite mining, which is clearly not true because Pechiney, which Alcan is set to overtake, has a mine in the adjacent area. And there's been really, really bad pollution from the ash and from the coal-burning ash and from the red mud. And so there's clearly going to be environmental damage. But the judicial report is claiming that there won't be environmental damage. So we're really wondering, how can you take the judicial report seriously? How can you base your decision
first
from that
if it's
clearly biased already?
First of all, we'll read it. Then we'll make our own determinations. I don't think we're going to build anything in the future, whether it's here, whether it's in South Africa, whether it's anywhere in Europe or Iceland or Norway, before we have full engineering impact studies, environmental impact studies. We're making expansions. We're building a bumper plant in the Saguenay-Lac-Saint-Jean area. Before we go ahead just here in Quebec, we have to submit to a series of environmental impact studies and get permits and certificates from the Quebec government.
And that's
locally. So the same would be true in other...
Legal conditions and requirements for building are very different in India.
Well, we'll have to investigate that.
But might not be up to the standards that they are in Canada, in which case there's a possibility that Alcan could take advantage of that situation.
Ten minutes ago, I said I had to run. I do have to run.
Okay.
I'll be back.
We'll be back too.
If you want any additional information, please contact me.
Can I have your card?
Ultimately, to be a responsible company is also... It definitely doesn't mean that you have to forego profit and long-term viability of the company. Because I think the reputation is more and more important for companies, because you have a large part of the society that expect higher standards for the behavior of companies more and more. You know, you have all the consumers and you have... But I guess in the case of Alcan, it's a bit hard because you can't decide on which aluminum paper you're going to buy, or... You just buy the can and you don't know where it comes from. But for investors, that's another story. And investors are asking more and more, are expecting more and more that companies behave responsibly and don't pop up in the paper with, you know, in a big scandal.
Do you think it's realistic for protesters or people who are opposed to the project to think that Alcan should disregard its profits?
I don't think the argument is not to disregard the profits, because if they go in and there's more protests like that and they decide to start a big consultation process and everyone is against and they still keep on doing it and they don't have the agreement of the people, then the word goes out. We're going to, you know, the activists are going to continue on with the protest, and ultimately it'll cost the company in terms of image and the reputation, and it'll... Even perhaps the project won't even go through, and then all this investment will have taken place and they'll lose money. So ultimately, to be a responsible company is also, it definitely doesn't mean that you have to forego profit and long-term viability of the company. Because I think the reputation is more and more important for companies, because you have a large part of the society that expect higher standards for the behavior of companies more and more. You know, you have all the consumers and you have... But I guess in the case of Alcan, it's a bit hard because you can't decide on which aluminum paper you're going to buy, or... You just buy the can, you don't know where it comes from. For investors, that's another story. And investors are asking more and more, are expecting more and more that companies behave responsibly and don't pop up in the paper with, you know, in a big scandal.
To find out more about the Alcan campaign, email Abhimanyu at abhimanyu@riseup.net or call 398-7432. Or visit www.saanet.org/Kashipur. To contact Alcan, call the company's Director of Media Relations, Joseph Singerman, at 848-1355 or email him at joseph.singerman@alcan.com.